Welcome to Hype episode 104. This is Hyperball.com's flagship entertainment podcast. My name is Marima. I'm here with Pam and Kyle. Hey guys.
Hi.
Hello.
I feel like it's been a while since we've all been on a show together. Kyle's been traveling the world, but we're happy to have him back. And we've got a lot of fun news to talk about. We've got Fantastic Beasts news. We've got some trailers, Star Wars, all that good stuff. And yeah, it's going to be a fun time. And you know what? This has not been a fun week. So I think some just fun, happy entertainment is just what we all need. Before we talk about what we've been up to, of course, you can get in touch with us on Twitter and Instagram. We are at Hyperball Hype on both of those. You can send us an email. We are hype@hyperball.com. And of course, if you would like to send us something a little longer, feedback to something we talk about on the show or something you'd like us to talk about next time, you can leave us a comment as well. And that would be on hyperball.com on this post. And we have a Tumblr. I keep forgetting. What's our Tumblr, Pam?
It's hypepodcast.tumblr.com. And you can you can also send us like little asks, like little anonymous notes or like not anonymous notes on there. They're always really, really fun to get. We actually got one that we'll read towards the end of the show in listener feedback, but that's another fun way to get in contact with us or like share fun pictures with us or just like see what we're freaking out about when we're not recording this show because we're having too much fun over there.
Oh, fun. Yeah. And actually, if you go back through sometimes you get some of our like text conversations of us freaking out. So like the one time I accidentally wrote a Steve Bucky fan fiction, I think that's on the Tumblr somewhere.
Yeah, that's
so
pretty good.
Have fun scrolling back through there. And yeah, we've been having fun with that. So yeah, let us know what you think. Send us a tweet. Send us an ask. It's a good time. So Kyle, you've been away the longest, so why don't you tell us what you've been up to?
Okay, well, the most exciting thing that I've been up to since I've been on the show is I've seen Cursed Child. So that's really what's been on my mind lately, especially because the past few days I've been working on an article that we're going to release the day it premieres, so on July 31st, when the book is out and everything, because it's spoiler heavy, and it has to do with my opinions about these two characters. So I'm not going to spoil anything, because Pam told me not to spoil anything. So if you want to learn more about that, we're actually going to be doing the spoiler version. We're going to be recording the spoiler version of Cursed Child soon for Hype. Tomorrow, actually. So I don't know when it will be out, but you'll be able to listen to that if you do want to be spoiled.
Oh, cool. And we already have a spoiler-free special up on the feed. Mm-hmm. If you go to iTunes or find us on Hyperball, you can check that out. I know lots of people have been listening to that. And, like, I think it gives you enough that you, if you are staying spoiler-free, you can listen to that and be like, I know enough now, and I don't need to seek out more spoilers. But if you want more spoilers, hey, power to you. And you'll be able to get that, I think, soon. We were talking about whether it was going to be delayed until the script is out, but I don't know if we're going to do that. We will see. Pam, what about you?
I'm really, really sad that neither of you guys have seen this, I don't think, but I went to see Finding Dory over the weekend, and oh my gosh, you guys, I loved it so much, which is so weird because I really didn't think I was going to, but I dare to say that it was better than Finding Nemo.
Really?
Yes.
I
loved
it.
Did
yesterday.
You see it? Oh my
I agree.
Gosh.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Ugh. So good.
You know,
so good.
There was a moment where I laughed so hard, I cried. Like, I was crying in the theater.
Oh, man. And it's, like, such a great balance of, like, comedy and, like, emotion. Like, oh my God.
Oh,
there
yeah.
are a few moments where I was just, like teared up because I was afraid of what was going to happen next.
Definitely, yeah. And Marima, you're going to see it this weekend? Perhaps, maybe?
Maybe. I was meant to see it tonight. I'm not sure if that's happening yet, but I do really want to see it. Although, like, Finding Nemo is not my favorite movie. I know for a lot of people it is. So I guess I don't have that, like, driving need to see it immediately, but I'll definitely go and see it. I'm, you know, a big fan. And I'll report back. That's interesting that you liked it more than Nemo, because I feel like for a lot of people... Actually, did you guys see on Hyperball, we have that... there's like an article where you can rank all of the Pixar films.
Mm-hmm.
I did, yeah.
And Nemo was like doing really well on that for ages. And I went over and was like outraged that The Incredibles was not number one. And so I voted up The Incredibles and voted down literally all of the others, just so like it would be bumped up the list faster. And then, and I should have screenshotted this, but then I like tweeted about it. And then I went back and looked at the article like about 15 minutes later, and The Incredibles was number one for like 20 minutes. And then people came and like voted in, you know, Toy Story or whatever. But The Incredibles did like reign supreme for a minute there, and definitely not because of negative voting. I saw last night Hunt for the Wilder People, and there is a connection here. The connection being that Taika Waititi, who directed it, is directing the third Thor film, Thor Ragnarok. But I love him so much. He's a New Zealand director. He co-directed and wrote What We Do in the Shadows, which, if I have not talked about enough on Hype, is like the funniest movie I have ever seen. It's like a vampire mockumentary. It's like, if you like Flight of the Conchords, it's very much in that similar humor, very dry and just so, oh, so, so funny. Like, talk about cry with laughter. That was me in that entire film. So he has this new movie. It's kind of a coming of age story. I really, really liked it. There was a scene in it that I would have liked a little warning about in advance. I got a little emotional, but that's cool. Whatever. Everyone cries sometimes. That's fine. But yeah, I really, really liked it. So I would definitely recommend that. I know it's in like limited release in various places, but when it does roll out in your city, would definitely recommend. And actually makes me really excited for Thor, because I'm not a big fan of the Thor films at all, except for looking at Tom Hiddleston's face. And he is such a great director that I'm just really interested to see what he does with it. And I feel like it could be very funny if they let him kind of go in the direction that his films do, which is this sort of like absurdist humor, which I like a lot. So yeah, so there's that. And I'm seeing the BFG this weekend, and I'm so excited for that. I don't know if either of you guys have caught that yet, but that's out here next week, and that's like one of my favorite books. So it's all happening. It's exciting times. All right, so news. Let's jump right in. We've got some sad news to start off, unfortunately. Pam, do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm going to bring the mood down a little bit, but this is our top story of the week. The world lost a true artist and rising star in the form of Anton Yelchin, who a lot of people will definitely know from the Star Trek movies, the newer ones. He was really well known in like the indie scene and stuff like that. And this news broke on Sunday, and I think it just really shocked the world. He was only 27 when he died, and it was just like this tragic freak accident. He was hopping out of his car to get something, and his car rolled down and trapped him between the car itself and a mailbox post. And it was just awful to hear about this in the middle of the day. I know that everybody in the Hypeable group, when we all found out, we were just like shocked that something like this could happen. And he's definitely going to be missed. If you go onto Hypeable.com, you'll see that this story we have, you know, the new story pertaining to this. And we've also been updating it with tributes and just comments from his co-stars and people that just have admired him from afar. I know that I've been a big fan of his for a really long time, specifically the movie Like Crazy. If you really like have never seen Anton's full range, I highly recommend you go check that out. It stars Felicity Jones, who also is in the new Star Wars Rogue One movie. And basically the director for that gave them an outline of what he kind of wanted the story to be like, but they improvised the rest of it. And it's just like such a beautiful film. And I think that alone will show you kind of what he's capable of, but definitely gone too soon and he will be missed.
Yeah, I love Like Crazy. That I would definitely second that recommendation. It's so beautiful, and it's just been really, just really sad and really moving to see everyone's tributes. And, you know, seems like no one has a bad word. Not that anyone ever does, but like the tributes that people have had, every single person who's worked with him just says, you know, he was such a talent. And yeah, things just are really bad sometimes, and this was definitely one of those things. And the Star Trek cast I saw have cancelled a couple appearances, and that must be hitting them pretty hard, because I know that cast is like really, really tight. You can see when they do all of their press. So yeah, sorry to start the show with a bit of a downer, but of course had to be our number one story.
Not sure how to follow that, but we'll make it happier from here on out, I promise. In the next piece of news, we have a new trailer from Tim Burton's Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children, which is something that we've been really excited about, except for Selena. Selena's not that excited. She's, like, totally boycotting, and for good reason. But the second trailer just showed even more scenes of the children with the peculiarities and the powers being used, and we actually finally see Miss Peregrine turn into a bird, which is a huge thing in the books. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think that the switch between the characters is going to make it interesting, even though I definitely agree that it shouldn't have been done. But I'm really excited to see how the story moves forward with the change. I don't know. Are you guys going to watch this when it comes out?
I don't know. So just for people who might not be aware, they switched two of the female characters from the book to the film. So the sort of love interest / main female character in the book is this girl, Emma, who has these really badass, like, fire powers and is just genuinely, like, awesome. And there's another character, Olive, I think, who has to wear these weighted shoes because otherwise she floats away. And they switched them for the film. So now Emma is the one with the air, power of air, the weighted shoes. Unfortunately, that means there are a lot of shots of Emma with a rope around her waist, with the male character holding onto her and keeping her safe, and etc. Visually looks beautiful, of course, but I am very mad about this. I will rep Selena's anger for a bit. It's been a while since I've read the book, but there were already, like, sort of manic pixie dream girl things happening in the book, and, like, to make this change makes it so much more overt in the film, and, like, you can't get away from the imagery of, like, the male character having the female character's life in his hands. Like, it's just unavoidable, and it makes me really angry, and I really, really don't like it. Although the trailers look beautiful and the posters look beautiful, I don't know if I'm going to watch it, honestly. Like, it's really upsetting.
Yeah, that makes sense. I want to know if any of the readers feel the same way you guys do, because you guys are a couple of the only people that I've heard the argument, but, like, out of my friends that I've seen, like, all my friends really want to see it, so I want to see who else is going to be, like, boycotting it because of that change.
Yeah, I kind of want to reread it. This makes me want to reread the book, not just because I want to write an angry feminist article about it, and I can't remember it well enough to be able to do that. But, I've definitely seen that issue raised in quite a few outlets that I guess have a more, like, liberal lean, and I think that's good because, like, the visuals matter, and, you know, I know it's like Tim Burton and he just goes for what looks good on screen, and that's cool if you're into that, but it's a pretty major change. And it should be noted, as we see in the character posters, like, they literally switch the powers. It's not that they kind of combined the characters. The character of Olive is still in the film, and the character of Olive now has the fire powers. So, you know, take from that what you will. But anyway, yay. Were you making this happier? I forgot. Sorry.
Oh, we're about to, but we're gonna.
Oh wait, no, we're not. Yep, no, we're not. I can see what's coming.
No. We're gonna start with the bad part first, and then we're gonna move into the happy stuff. How about that? Okay. So we've got some Fantastic Beasts news for you guys. Of course, we're looming closer and closer to the theatrical release of this, which is crazy. First off, we got some new details for that random re-release of the book that J.K. Rowling originally wrote back in 2001. And interestingly enough, it's not going to have as many newer details as we were kind of hoping it would. Basically, Scholastic released a statement saying that the new version of Fantastic Beasts will be released on March 14th, 2017, so next year. And it's going to contain a new foreword from J.K. Rowling. It's going to have a new cover design, so this will be like the third cover design this particular book has had over the course of its lifetime. And it's going to have original illustrations and doodles by J.K. Rowling throughout throughout. And then, so this part is, like, I'm not sure if they mean, like, the original ones that came in the original book, which were, like, Harry and Ron kind of doodling throughout the textbook, or if she's going to be adding new things. But either way, I think a lot of people are very ho-hum about this because it kind of, they made it sound like it was going to be a bigger deal that they were re-releasing this, and we're not really getting very much more new information. And for a book that's only like 60 pages long, it's kind of one of those things where you're really going to have to assess whether or not you actually need a second copy of this and if it's even worth it.
You know, it would be cool if instead of having Harry and Ron's little annotations in it, like it was a, they pitched it as if it was an earlier edition of the book and there were Newt's annotations in it. Like that would be fun in a way to kind of get inside the character a little more, but that would require them to change the text a bit because for it to be a different edition. So yeah, I hope they don't take out Harry and Ron's ones because honestly, like when I read the book, I just flicked through to find those and laughed at them. And, you know, I'm sure I've read it all the way through at some point because they're like 50 pages or something, but yeah, they were what I was there for. So
totally. So we have a little bit more exciting news on the Fantastic Beasts front. We got a new featurette that was released actually Wednesday, so today. This is probably my favorite one so far. It features Jo kind of discussing the story. The nice thing is that she doesn't give too much away about the plot. Just like, I think that's always what people are worried about is like, how much are you actually going to be oversaturated with before the movie comes out? But she kind of just does a really nice job of setting things up. She had some really nice things to say about Newt as a character. She said that the heroes in her stories tend to be set apart, stigmatized, or others. And at the heart of everything, that's what she kind of likes to write. We also got our first look at the bow truckle, which a lot of us will remember from the series in and of itself. And we also got some more information as to how bad the wizard / nomad problem is in America in the 1920s. It sounds like it's going to be a lot more hardcore than we thought. By the rules that stand as they are when Newt visits New York, you're not even supposed to befriend non-magic people if you're a wizard. You're not supposed to marry them. So Selena, who wrote this up for Hypeable, kind of started speculating if maybe Newt was going to marry Jacob, but that's probably not going to happen. So that's too bad for her. But I definitely think this is going to play a big role considering that they're obviously friends in the trailer, or at least they seem to be. So I don't know if you guys saw this, but I just really liked it a lot. It's probably my favorite so far.
I thought it was really fantastic. It was interesting because I was looking at it with more scrutiny because of something that happened in Cursed Child that I'm like hoping doesn't happen in Fantastic Beasts. And so like for everything that like they've been showing, I've been like looking for something. And again, I'm not going to spoil anything. But it's really interesting to see how much news comes out. I don't know, but like I'm also worried at being too spoiled by everything because I don't want to see all of this information keep popping up and like learning so much about the movie that by the time it goes in, it already feels stale.
Yeah, guys, I'm trying so. When do we get to the positive bits?
Are you displeased by this?
I have such a weird reaction to this. I love the look of it. I think I love Eddie Redmayne so much. I thought when he was rumored, I was so on board with it. I've been on board with his casting the entire time. And seeing more of him in this just makes me more certain of that. I think the casting is so great. And I think the look of it is so great. Like we got to see him in, you know, I assume like he goes into the case and there's like, you know, a greenhouse and all kinds of things down in his suitcase. And we see him kind of interact with that. And that was awesome. And the use of Hedwig's theme and everything, like, oh, makes you really, like, it does pull on the heartstrings. And I'm not even a person who enjoyed the film adaptations, but, you know, I really want to like this so much. And then there are things like, oh, like wizards and non-magic people cannot get married. And it's like, I'm trying to get over this race thing. Like, I'm trying to be like, okay, that's fine. It's set during the Harlem Renaissance, like peak time of African-American creativity in the States. We're not obviously seeing any of that. That's fine. I'm going to move on. And then it's like, they say things like this. How can they, I just hate that they're like making these connections without having any representation of like the actual issues that were also happening at the same time. Like interracial marriage was illegal across the United States until the late 60s. And they're like, oh yeah, but you know, it's hard because like you can't be friends with a nomad or whatever. Like, it's just, it puts me really offside. And like, how can you tell this story and how can she make comments like this about people being like set apart and stigmatized and othered without acknowledging, you know, the background that they're using, the period that they have chosen to set this in? Like, there were actual people experiencing these actual issues and they've chosen to totally forego showing that in the film. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's really annoying because I really want to love this. I really want to love this. And I do, but I can't switch off that part of me that is like, seriously, we're doing this again? Because at this point, like, it's just, it's ridiculous at this point. Like, this is no longer just, oh, an oversight. You know, this is like a refusal to include these things. And I know, you know, it's not like a documentary or whatever, but if you're choosing this setting, like, you should encompass all of it, not just the fun bits, not just the, like, you know, the jazz music and like the speakeasies and stuff. Do you know what I mean?
Well, yeah, but the interesting thing is too, is they made such a big deal about releasing all this information of, like, you know, schools from all over the world in terms of like trying to include the whole world. But if they do that and they don't mm-hmm. include, you know, some of the things that you've discussed, it is kind of like, it is a little hypocritical because they've chosen not to include it in the movie. And yet so far as we know, but it doesn't look like they're going to. And yet they've tried to expand the Wizarding World to be all encompassing and all inclusive. And so if they're not showcasing that in terms of like the casting or in terms of the real social issues that were going on at the time, it is kind of like it all kind of falls flat. So I totally understand where you're coming from.
Yeah.
A pattern that I've noticed with J.K. Rowling is that she says all these things that, like, the world is so inclusive and so, like, open to minorities, and there's this minority and there's that minority. When, like, people tweet at her, they're like, is there, like, a gay person in Hogwarts? And they're like, yeah, of course. It's, like, super friendly. And, like, with this, it's like, she has a tendency to say that it's equal and say that it's stuff, but, like, we're not seeing it. Like, actions speak louder than words, and she's telling and not showing, and that's a problem.
Well, okay, but I do think like, the blame, especially for, like, what they choose to showcase in the movies, doesn't necessarily fall all on her. Like, I don't think she just sat there in the casting chair.
No, like, not in the, no, like,
black
not
people,
in the movies.
No Mexican people, no, like Puerto Ricans, or, you know, like, or whatever. So, we are talking about two different things, but you're right. Yeah. In the books too. I guess she does a good job of like not really labeling what people look like. So you're supposed to like superimpose your own image. But at the same time, it's like it almost would have been helpful if she had like grown a pair and said, "This person looks like this, and this person looks like that," and created a more colorful place, I guess.
Right. This conversation could go forever, and I'm sure there will be people who like. This isn't an anti J.K. Rowling thing, and this isn't like an anti Harry Potter thing, but the way that they are marketing Fantastic Beasts now does make me uncomfortable with the fact that, you know, if one of the characters had been African American, for example, one of the lead, like if Jacob had been African American, then you would have been able to deal with both of those issues simultaneously. Like, you know, you could have had the whole thing about like, oh, the nomads and wizards can't be friends. And he'd be like, yeah, dude, like, you don't have to tell me about people telling you that you like can't hang out with other people. You know, it makes me feel weird. And that's definitely like reading too much into it, but hey, that's how I feel. So I would be really interested to hear what other people think. Like I said, I really love the style of it and the tone of it. And it looks amazing, and it kind of looks magical, you know, it looks how I wish the actual Harry Potter films looked. So that's really exciting, but I just can't really shake that, that other feeling. Anyway, this is cool. I can't be negative about this because I have literally no opinions. We had some Justice League news. They've started filming and some outlets have been doing set visits, early set visits. the result of that being that we got the synopsis for Justice League. I should say also, I don't know if it's mentioned in this report, but there's been a lot of talk about whether Justice League is going to be one or two films, and there are two films scheduled, but it seems like they're going to do it sort of Infinity War style and have two separate films, you know, instead of like a part one, part two kind of thing. So that seems like what they're going for now. But anyway, the synopsis says, fueled by his restored faith in humanity and inspired by Superman's selfless act, Bruce Wayne enlists the help of his newfound ally, Diana Prince, to face an even greater enemy. Together, Batman and Wonder Woman work quickly to find and recruit a team of metahumans to stand against this newly awakened threat. But despite the formation of this unprecedented League of Heroes, Batman, Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Cyborg, and the Flash, it may already be too late to save the planet from an assault of catastrophic proportions. And should note that they don't say Superman in the group there, but he is listed as the second build person. So seem like he's probably going to, you know, come back pretty early on in the film. So yeah, I don't know if either of you guys are big DC fans, but this definitely means we should be getting more information about Justice League as the filming continues. And that's cool because like Wonder Woman's in it. Therefore, I like it.
Yeah. I feel that.
Yeah.
I usually have to reserve justice, you see, on any comic movie until I actually kind of see it because I have not read it and I only know what I have seen in 90s cartoons. So it's kind of hard for me to have an opinion on this, but I trust yours. So.
Well, that's good because, like, you can reserve justice and we will be the Judgment League.
That's the title, the Judgment League.
Oh, dear.
All right. Well, we've got a lot of Star Wars news pertaining to Rogue One, the biggest of which is we've discovered that Darth Vader is officially back for Star Wars Rogue One. Now, this is a rumor that started after some information leaked earlier this year, and Entertainment Weekly has confirmed it with the latest cover for the magazine that's out on stands probably on Friday, I think. Yeah, this Friday. So that's really exciting. Again, fans have been speculating about this because we did know for a while that Rogue One is set before A New Hope and 34 years before The Force Awakens, so it kind of happens right in the middle of all of this stuff, and it would just make sense for Darth Vader to be around when these events are happening. So it's going to be really exciting to see what kind of mayhem he stirs up. I don't know if you guys have any thoughts about this. I feel like it was a given, but it's nice to know that it's actually happening.
Yeah, and they also say in there that there might be some other classic characters coming back, I think. So let the speculation begin, but that's fun. Like, I just, anything Star Wars makes me excited because they got The Force Awakens so right, you know? So anything else they announce now, I'm like, yep, I'm on board with it.
Right. And speaking of, you know, Rogue One and Star Wars and stuff like that, one thing that Rogue One did get right was the cast. I think this cast is so, so stellar. And we got a slew of new information on some of the key players that are going to be featured in Rogue One, a lot of whom we got introduced to in the first teaser trailer. I don't want to go too much into this because it is a lot of information, but if you want the full rundown of what we know now, definitely head over to HiPeople.com and check this article out because Mikal did a great job breaking everything down. One interesting thing to note, though, is that if anybody is a fan of the animated series The Clone Wars, apparently Forrest Whitaker's character is a character that is featured in The Clone Wars. So if you want to do some speculating as to what Saw Gerrera is going to do in Rogue One, you can go back and watch the animated series and see if you can kind of connect the dots as you wait for Rogue One to hit theaters.
Do you feel like they're announcing a lot more for this than they did for Force Awakens?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And I think it's because they're so, now that they know what they have to live up to with Force Awakens, like everybody was going to go see that. It's like, it's almost like they have to justify Rogue One because it's not really a continuation of Force Awakens. It happens before. And I feel like this is the one that people were least excited about until the trailer hit.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, on the other side of the spectrum, like, there's Disney doing some awesome things with Star Wars, and then they're doing some not awesome things with Indiana Jones. Bob Iger revealed that they were hoping to do, like, a reboot for Indiana Jones after the fifth one, which is already, like, weird enough, because they've confirmed that Harrison Ford is going to come back for a fifth Indiana Jones movie, and then afterwards he's thinking about doing a reboot. He says we'll bring him back, and then we'll have him figure out what he comes next. It's not really a reboot; it's a boot. I don't know, and it's just like, it's like, what are you saying? Because it looks like they want to continue the franchise, but they don't want necessarily Harrison Ford to be a part of it, so they might do a continuation without Indiana Jones, but that makes no sense because it's all about Indiana Jones. You can't really recast him, so it's just a huge mess on a million different levels, really.
I mean, why can't they recast him? How is that a problem?
I feel like that'd be weird because we've just grown up with Harrison Ford. It'd be like,
it would be like recasting James Bond.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I mean, well, that's what I was thinking. I was thinking that it could be like that when I read the story first, but it's just like, I don't know, like James Bond, it's accustomed. Like, we're like used to him changing and being recast. And Indiana Jones, like, this would be the first time that they think of like totally recasting him, and it just feels like it'd be weird.
I feel like this actually makes sense to me, and I kind of don't have an issue with it. Harrison Ford is really hot right now from doing Star Wars, and it makes sense to me that they want to kind of cash in on that. But also, you know, he's not as believable as Indiana Jones, so it kind of makes sense to do like one last film, you know, like he has a one last hurrah, he goes on one last adventure. And then if that does well, obviously they want to keep the franchise going if they can. So maybe it wouldn't be like recast in terms of, you know, someone else playing the character who is Indiana Jones, but maybe it would be, you know, like, you know, he has a long lost nephew or something who is also Indiana Jones.
Yeah, that's what
like,
I was thinking.
You know what I mean? Like, some kind of family connection or something like that, to kind of keep it going. And then Harrison Ford would be able to like kind of pop up if they wanted him to as well, versus like a traditional reboot in that just like starting it off again from the start. Because like I do see what you're saying, and I also think they wouldn't want to put themselves in a position where Harrison Ford couldn't be in the film, you know. And if they redid it totally, then they would be stuck like that. We're all about like, yes, diversity, but for real, if they wanted to cast Chris Pratt, I would be so here for that.
Oh, of course.
Like, so here for that. Okay, more continuations. We got some news from Paul Feig, and apparently Spy 2 is already in the works, sort of. He's planning it, which will bring back Melissa McCarthy and, of course, Jason Statham. As we all know, big fans of Spy on Hype. It was like this surprise, amazing, feminist, hilarious masterpiece. So I am so excited for this, and I know Selena will be as well. Pam, you are also a Spy fan, right?
Oh, I loved this movie. I loved like everything about this movie. It was great. I'm into it.
Yeah, I really hope that they would bring back Rose Byrne as well, because like everything was funny, but like Rose Byrne's just insults and general just terrible behavior were most of the moments that made me actually cry while watching this, just because it was so good.
I also really liked, was it Jason Statham in this? Because he basically, like, parodied every character he's ever played in anything else. Like,
yeah.
He's always the buff, like, secret agent or, like, whatever. And it was great.
Yeah, so, no, he's definitely going to be back as well. So, basically, Feig says, Susan Cooper, who is McCarthy's character, is one of my favorite characters I've ever come up with, and Rick Ford, who is Statham's, possibly the one I'll take to the grave with me. Will he get any more self-aware in the sequel? No, God, no. He'll get less self-aware. So that's good news for fans of him like Pam. Of course, we'll have to wait until Ghostbusters before they get to work on this, but I'm so here for it. So here for it.
Well, here is something that I am so here for because it's such a long time coming. Kira Cass's The Selection book is finally going to be adapted in some form. Originally, it was greenlit twice for different pilots on the CW. And now I think it's finally found kind of the right format to go along with. It has been greenlit for a big screen adaptation, and it's got a director attached, so it looks like they're moving full steam ahead. Thea Sharrock, Sherrick, I can't remember how to pronounce her name, but she was she's mostly known for her theater work, but she did make her directorial debut in Me Before You, and she's attached to helm this. For those of you who have not read Keir Cass's selection series, it's a trilogy, and I think she's done some follow-ups with different stories from that realm. It's kind of like half dystopian era, half The Bachelor, and it all kind of fuses together in a way that's so wrong it's kind of right. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what they do with this, because it just has been picked up and dropped and picked up and dropped so many times, and we'll see what comes of this. I think Merima, you've read this, right?
Yeah, I have. I kind of hate myself for it, but I have. I don't want to give anything away for people who haven't read it, but I definitely read the series. I read the trilogy hoping it would go in a certain direction in the last book, and it did not. So that's fine. But yeah, this has been a saga for this. I remember, wasn't Bradley James attached to this at one point?
No, he was not, but you would think it was that. Oh my God, I forgot his name. It's the guy from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. William Moseley. You would think, yes. But
he was in the wrong part, right? But,
he was for Aspen, who's like the guy the one that he's not even the prince, like you would think, but I think that
right,
they could
he's like the Gale of the,
but they couldn't. The yeah, he's the Gale. And funnily enough, Anthony Head was attached to play the king. So it would have just been too much if they had cast Anthony Head as the king and then Bradley James as this prince, because, you know, it would just be repeating history a little too much. So they went with, Selena and I were joking, they went with the next best thing back when they were casting this, and they cast Liam Moseley, who of course played a prince. Our king.
He is basically like Bradley James 2.0.
I know. They're like basically
minus
brothers.
1.0 or
the poor man's Bradley James. That's yeah. So sad. No, oh thanks. My gosh, no. And actually, fun fact, I ran into Keira Cass when they were playing around with this adaptation that they were doing for the CW. Apparently they got as far as filming the pilot. This was back at WonderCon in like 2013, I think, when I saw her, I ran into her, and she said that she was actually happy that they didn't go through with that pilot, because they did some really weird things and she wouldn't go into it, but she said it was just very, very odd the way that they had decided to like go with adapting this. So I'm hoping that she's much more happier with whatever they decide to do for this one.
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting watching this after watching Unreal.
I know,
it'll
right?
It'll just be like everything.
But it kind of like falls into the line of everything we love on this show, right? Unreal, the selection.
Yeah.
Perfect. So we'll be following this.
You know, I'm curious if anyone who listens to Hype has read the whole trilogy. You should tweet at me and see if you can guess what I thought would happen, like what I hoped would happen versus like what actually happened. Because I'm a very predictable person, so I think you probably could. But anyway, another series that's having a bit of a rough time at the moment. Agent Carter, of course, was cancelled, and we're not over it. But it seems like there could be hope? For fans. Hayley Atwell was appearing at a conference recently, and she said that at her panel that everyone, including Marvel, are fighting to find a new home for Agent Carter, and that she feels like they're not done with the show and sort of don't give up hope. Of course, you know, could just be wishful thinking, but Netflix does have like 4 Marvel shows right now, so they're sort of who everyone is looking to, and I think... seeing as a lot of people were thinking that part of the issue with season 3 was that Hayley Atwell was doing this other show and that she wouldn't be able to sort of commit to do it, the fact that she is still really passionate about doing the show is definitely encouraging. But, you know, I've been burned before, so I'm trying not to get too excited about this. But guys, imagine if we had season 3. But no, I should calm down. But
I'm not holding out hope, but I'm really excited about the prospect. Like, super excited.
Yeah. Oh, just, yeah, I don't know.
It makes so much sense to have it on Netflix. Like,
Yeah, it really does. I mean, lots of shows, you know, there are a lot of shows now, like Gilmore Girls is the perfect example, Arrested Development. There are shows that when fans push hard enough, it's proven if they think the interest is there, like they do get picked up. So there are all these campaigns for Save Agent Carter, and like we have been retweeting some of that stuff. So guys, like, we got to keep at it, and hopefully, hopefully something will happen, because there was a cliffhanger and like I need to know what happened and I need to see Peggy again, and it's just a very stressful time.
You know, I'm just happy it's not like not going to move to the CW, because the CW is screwed in terms of how you're going to watch them and like how you're going to watch their shows now, because the CW is ending its contract with Hulu. It's like up for renewal, and so like they were in talks to renew their contract, but it looks like the CW and Hulu are going to end their contract, which means specifically that they're not going to put out a new episode or up to five new episodes of any CW show on Hulu like they have been for the past couple years. So if you're interested, Netflix is actually chasing the CW down and offering them to put on the entire series or the entire season 2 weeks after the season ends. So as opposed to watching it live or as close to live as you can get if you don't have cable and like watching the next episode the day after, you're going to have to wait until the entire season is over, wait 2 weeks, and then you'll be able to watch it on Netflix. It's really frustrating because I like cut all my cable. So this is the only way that I can watch the CW shows. And I was really excited, actually, because Supergirl is moving to the CW. And I was like, okay, good. So that means I can watch it on Hulu. No, I guess not. So that's happening. And I mean, technically speaking, like, it makes sense. Like, if you look at the details of, like, the business aspects of them and how, like, Hulu just didn't think it was lucrative enough. They didn't think it was a lucrative enough deal to keep, so they're like, eh. So it makes sense from a business perspective, but from a fan's perspective, it sucks. Because you're going to be forced to use the CW's website, because they do have the episodes available on the CW website, but it's so ad-heavy and so slow to load, it's going to be a major deal-breaker for a lot of people who can't watch them. Like, they're going to have to wait no matter what.
Okay, one last piece of TV news before we wrap up with, all right, that's what we're, okay, anyway, let's finish TV first. So, of course, Gilmore Girls, big fans. We will record that episode special soon, I promise. But Michelle Obama might be on Gilmore Girls. This is a crazy fun thing. She, on her Snapchat, which is a thing that she has, because she is awesome, Michelle Obama had a Snapchat of her and Alexis Bledel, and it says, "It's Rory, more coming soon." Alexis Bledel seems to have like a page of a script with her, and Michelle Obama has a box of Pop-Tarts for some reason. So they announced that it was sort of for this, like girls doing, I can't remember what it's called, like some initiative that Michelle Obama has. They sort of announced that that's what it was for, but it definitely looks like it's a filming thing, and no spoilers, but people who have watched all of Gilmore Girls know, of course, that there is a way that would totally make sense for Michelle Obama to appear in the show based on what happened at the end. So, like, this is such a non-news story, but if we can talk about Gilmore Girls on this show, we always do. So that's the thing that is happening. And it's really exciting for some reason. I don't know. Pam, do you have any feels about it?
Yeah, well, it's just exciting, like, you teased because of what happens towards the end of the original right. series. So for fans like Marima and I who have seen it all, Selena, if you're listening, we're trying to keep this as, like, unspoilery yeah. as possible. It just makes sense. So even if, like, Michelle Obama's not in the revival, it just works. Like, it works so well that this happened. But funnily enough, this Girls Initiative, I did see when I was scrolling through Instagram that Blake Lively was there, and she took this really cute group shot of her and Alexis and Mayaka Ferreira and Amber Tamblyn, who, of course, were all in the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants together. So that was a really cute reunion. If anybody's a fan of that,
that's fun.
You can go over to her Instagram. It looks like they were all in DC together for this. So even if it's not Rory-centric, you can have traveling pants-centric fun stuff, headcanons from this meeting. So.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. So many. Stars Hollow meets Sisterhood of Traveling Pants. That was actually such a fun movie.
I really liked it too. Yeah. Apparently there's a third one. And a sequel. Apparently there's a third one in the works.
Oh really?
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. They've been talking about this, and it's really funny because sorry guys, this is off on a tangent. I don't think we reported this on Hypeable, but if you're interested, for the past year and a half or so, a bunch of the stars have come out, specifically the main girls, and said, we're working on a Sisterhood 3. There is a script in the works. We're not really sure what's going to happen with it, but we're all down to make it. So, all the original, four girls are super into the idea. The creators are really into it. They are working on a script, which I guess would focus on, that last book that Anne Brasheris released, where they were a lot older, 10 years into the future or something. But yeah, I mean, if it gets picked up off the ground, they're all really excited about the possibility. So we would have a nice little cast reunion, and it sounds like everybody would be on board. But most recently, Blake Lively talked about this on an EW radio, SiriusXM radio show. She said that she was they are working on a script, and stay tuned for more details. So.
Wow. Oh, that's exciting.
A little extra hype story there.
Hey.
I like it.
Oh, man. That's far more exciting than the last story. But I wanted to... I picked it because we had to pick four stories, and I'm actually kind of excited about this one. So I do like musicals a lot, and I'm not, a musical theater buff by any means. But when I heard about this, I had to talk about it. They're going to release a Monopoly musical on Broadway, but it's behind the people behind the real where am I? I'm trying to look at the article and see what the people are. They've brought so many great musicals to Broadway, and that's the team that's bringing this to Broadway, and I can't talk about it. Sorry, I lost my place. Dang it. Anyway, it's not this company's first Broadway musical that they're putting on, so they have some really, really good musicals out already on Broadway, and they've created some really great ones. So that's why I have faith behind this, because I feel like it's going to be really fun and ridiculous. So... I don't know.
Well, interestingly...
Are you just adamantly against this?
No, but I was going to say, interestingly enough, this is not the first Monopoly project that has been announced over the course of the last year, because I think back at, last summer, they said they were working on a Monopoly movie. So how do you like them apples, Kyle? a feature-length Monopoly movie.
Listen.
I mean, they did make a movie about battleships. So.
And there's a Jumanji, but that doesn't really count because Jumanji is a family adventure, so.
Yeah, obviously. Jumanji's a classic. They've made a lot of terrible, board game
movies. I'm waiting for, what is it, Secret Date, whatever that one. You know what I'm talking about, right? Where you would, pick up the phone. And no, just
what?
Me. There was, this 90s game where, you there was, a board game. It was, I think it's called, Secret Date or something. And you would, pick up the phone and you'd be, let's go to the mall or whatever. And you had, this random guy, on the other end, but not a guy. It was all electronic. No,
Pam,
just me.
What was your childhood?
What?
Hold on, I'm going to Google this.
I don't even know what this is.
Meanwhile, aren't they making a movie from, those marshmallow peeps? So
that's
they can
true.
Make a movie
that is
from
very
anything
true. Oh,
now.
Oh, here we go. It was called Dream Phones. It was
what?
Electronic, yeah. And it's just the tagline is "Guess who likes you" in this talking telephone game. And you had all these trading cards with random guys. And I oh my God, that's right. This was recently in the news because Chris Evans was a stock model for this when he was a baby.
What?
Yeah, and he's the surfer named
now
Tyler.
I'm interested.
Yeah. Hold on, I'm gonna send this to you guys in the chat.
Please, and then we can put it on Tumblr.
Yeah, then we can put it on Tumblr. So anyway, I'm not crazy.
Because no one else is listening to this conversation, and this must be very boring. We'll definitely tweet this photo. So if you're wondering why there's a photo of Chris Evans, 12-year-old trading card surfer guy on our Twitter, then hopefully this conversation will explain it to you. But on that note, I feel like this is a good time to move on and talk about some TV. Before we do, I just want to mention Power Rangers has added Bryan Cranston to the cast. I wonder if his outfit's going to have cleavage built into the suit. That'll be interesting to see. And John Boyega is apparently going to star in Kathryn Bigelow's film about the Detroit riots. So that is all very exciting. Let's talk about TV. What has everyone been watching? Kyle, I don't even know what that is. Explain this to me. What is this show?
It's called Casual. It's a Hulu original series. It is about this family, this really dysfunctional family, this brother and the sister who live together, and the sister's raising this daughter. And it's just about them trying to figure out their dating lives, like, separately, and how no matter what they do, it seems like the casual dating is like all that they can seem to come up with. And it's just their fuck ups, or sorry, wow, my bad. Their mess ups and their like bonding over their terrible dating lives. And it's actually really funny and it's really deep, and it almost won an Emmy. It was nominated for an Emmy, and it got renewed for season 3. So right now it's in season 2. Season 4 is available on Hulu right now. Up to season 4, or episode 4, season 2. And, yeah, so it's just a really good show. I'm terrible at explaining things, but it's really, really funny and really good.
Oh, fun. Yeah, that sounds cool. Pam, you've been watching Orange is the New Black?
Yeah, I just finished we're on season 4 now, right? Yeah, season 4. And I went into this saying to myself, I'm going to watch a couple episodes and then I'm going to like leave it and take my time. And something about the season really gripped me and I was very, very impressed. I think that like as far as pacing goes, this is one of the most solid seasons they have created so far. And just for the end, like the final 2 episodes, oh my gosh, were so intense. I was so, so, so impressed by the season, more so just because I didn't expect to be. But I just completely powered through the whole thing. And before I knew it, I was on episode 11. And I had only really meant to sit down for like 2 hours to watch, you know. So, yeah, I highly recommend it if you haven't gotten around to it yet.
Awesome. And I know you've been watching Game of Thrones, but I want to talk about that with you. So I'll just say quickly, I'm still watching Unreal and it's still awesome. Meanwhile, I have talked 3 separate people in real life into watching Unreal this week.
Yes.
So... yes. And one of them watched it all in like 2 days. So I was like, well done me. And she was like texting me her thoughts as she watched it and is already on season 2. So I was pretty proud of that. Unreal continues to be amazing. I don't know if you've seen episode 3, Ben, but there was a moment in this episode when I was just jaw dropped. It was amazing. Quinn is my life, and we need to watch the whole series, and then we definitely need to have a special to talk about all of it.
I
feel like it's one of those shows that it's sort of there's no point in doing it mid-season because everything just changes so much every week. But definitely at the end of the season, we should do something because season 2 has just stepped it up. And
I'm really excited about it because I haven't seen any of it yet.
So
we have
good
to catch up, Kyle.
Yeah. episode 3, by the way, and I was also floored.
You know the moment I mean?
I
was just
I
like,
do.
No.
Yeah. Well, the whole thing was like insane, well, yeah. But yeah.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Everything
so,
with like Rachel yeah. and that new guy, and like it's just oh my god, yeah. It's crazy.
So much drama, so much drama. Okay, and speaking of drama, also Game of Thrones, of course, had its episode 9, which is usually the big episode of the season that aired this week, and then we have the season finale next week. I'm really glad I got back into Game of Thrones. If you're not watching it, like. I feel like you're not going to watch it at this point. Is that fair?
I don't know, because I feel like a lot of...
Is this enough time to talk about it?
To be honest with you, I feel like a lot of people that, like, we all know, and people that I know on my own, and, like, people that we all know on our own, said they were not going to watch this season at all, and then, like, all of a sudden everybody's watching again. So I feel like it was all empty threats. I don't know anybody that said they were going to boycott that is still boycotting.
Actually, Selena and I both proof of that.
Yeah, well, yeah, I wasn't even talking about you guys. I was talking about somebody else, but yeah.
But we are those people. Well, anyway, I guess stop listening. Just fast forward a couple of minutes now if you haven't watched the, episode 9 and you're planning on watching it, because I don't want to ruin it for you. But have you guys both seen it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, damn. Sansa Stark.
Oh, my God.
Queen in the North.
Queen of my life.
Queen of my heart.
Yeah. Queen of everything.
Yeah. I am so here for this. The moment at the end of the episode. I've been so here for Sansa from the start, and I'm so glad to see where her character is going right now. John is fine. Like, that's cool. Whatever. There's a lot of interesting stuff happening with John, but I just want to see Sansa, and I just want to see, like, Sansa and Dany team up. And I am very excited to see what happens next week, and Arya's going home, and oh guys, like, it's all happening, and the Starks are back at Winterfell, and it was really emotional.
Yeah, and you know what's so funny, that like I think Jon has like always been so, but he's like fun to look at, but I love Jon and Sansa together, because I think that she is the catalyst that he needs to be propelled forward, and I think that like she's the only one that's really gotten him to do like what he should have been doing all along. Kind of,
yeah.
Because he's like never really wanted to lead, but I think that like with her pushing him, like this is the most invested he has been in leading. So that's been really that's fun true. To watch. But yeah, like that last scene where she was like in the in the kennels, and she was like, "Everyone will forget you, and you will be erased," and blah blah blah. That was like, oh my god, it was
so
amazing.
Good.
And then she walks away, and you know what was weird? The thing I kept thinking about when she walks away and she has that little smile is, you know, in Mad Men when Peggy leaves and she has like a cigarette in one hand and like her box of things in the other hand, she's just strutting down the hallway. I'll find the gif for comparison's sake, but there is this moment, it's so badass, and I just kept thinking of that, which was a really weird thing to think about in that moment. But but also, like, Daenerys in this episode was amazing. Like, we didn't see any of that in the preview. It was all about the battle. And then, you know, jokes on us, all the dragons are united again. And she had an awesome moment again. And, oh, it was so good. Mm-hmm. It was really, really good. I'm so into this series again now. They sucked me back in.
The finale is just going to be so good.
I think so, too. But it's also very, like, it's almost, you know, they're just going to set a bunch of stuff up for next season. Because now, like, I'm mostly interested in, like, what happens with Sansa and Jon, and I'm most interested to see if Arya makes it home. Because, you know, she had her badass moment last, the episode before last, and that was great. But I don't know if we're going to get to see her again before this season is over, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, they always do that in the season finales, but usually some stuff goes down at the same time, you know, so... I'm excited to see what happens. I feel like they've really stepped it up this season, and I totally understand. I know we've talked about this before with Selena. I totally understand why book readers are frustrated with this season. But as someone who sort of gave up on the books after a while, the pacing is so much better now that they're not trying to draw it out. Like, it's just so much better this season. And I appreciate that selfishly as someone who just wants to know what happens and just wants to see the story sort of move forward. So anyway, I am sure we will all have a lot to say about the season finale next week. And if you guys are watching it, you can let us know your thoughts and we can read them out on the show. You can tweet us. We are at HyperbleHype. Or you can tell us on Instagram if that's how you roll. Same handle, at HyperbleHype. You can send us a message on Tumblr. We are hypepodcast.tumblr.com. Or of course, you can email us. hype@hyperbole.com or leave a comment on this post on hyperbole.com.
And I just want to say, when I was in London, me and Christina were catching a cab, and we got in our cab, and literally we'd almost run over Jon Snow. Like, he's walking,
doing that play in the West End.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I freaked out because like it was fine because people in London avoid cars like really well, but like he was like right next to my window, and I was like and Christine was like, oh, okay, cool, and I was like, oh my gosh.
How random. Oh, fun. Yeah. You should have told us that story at the start. I feel like
I know, my bad.
A little there. All right, let's jump over to listener feedback to wrap up the show. We've got some emails this week. Pam, did you want to grab that first one?
Sure. This one comes from Audrey. She says, "Hey, Hypes, you discussed Hamilton touring and the complete disaster it is becoming to get tickets. It was announced last week that Hamilton is coming to Denver in 2018, and they are expecting demand to be so unbelievably high that you not only need to buy a 2017-2018 season subscription for $500 to get the tickets, you also have to be subscribed for the 2016-2017 season." So she's saying that you have to subscribe this year and then next year, too, for $500 as well. That's right. The only people guaranteed tickets to Hamilton in the fine city of Denver are people who can afford two straight season passes. This is a good deal because it also includes 15 tickets to 15 other shows over the next 2 years. But for people who only want to see Hamilton, they are essentially having to decide if they want to pay $1,000 for the ticket. Denver Center is not expecting many, if any at all, tickets to be available after subscriptions are satisfied. Also, related to Shrek, my mall had a massive, massive elaborate Christmas house that was constructed this past holiday season, and the entire thing was Shrek-themed. Universal sponsored it, and literally there were LED panels all over it showing a Shrek Christmas, and you took photos with Shrek and Fiona and Donkey, and people were purchasing little Shrek Santas, and it was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen. The first thing that came to mind was, is this still somehow relevant? I guess America does have a weird Shrek thing. Anyhow, love the show, Audrey." So, yeah, this is, I think I talked a little bit about this last year, but this Hamilton thing is, like, so disheartening, and it's becoming a business, and obviously theater is the business, but it is too bad.
Yeah, that really sucks, and the Shrek thing is hilarious. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I actually, like, a side note, I do know somebody from Chicago who said she managed to get tickets on Ticketmaster. I guess they started to sell this past week. She says she saw some on StubHub that were going for $8,000, which is just absolutely ridiculous when you think about the fact that they're not even seeing it with the original Broadway cast. So, I don't know if I can justify it, but I guess we'll see what happens when the time comes.
I mean, I'm kind of in two minds about it because I totally understand they don't want to release it. They don't want to film it and release the show for people to watch, like on a DVD or whatever, because they think it's going to cut into sales. But then you also see interviews with like Lynn and with the people behind Hamilton, the producers, saying, you know, please don't support people reselling tickets. And it's like, do you not understand why people are willing to pay that much money? Because tickets are so impossible to come by. And if you gave people a DVD or something that they could buy, then that would definitely lessen that, you know. I don't think it's not going to sell out if they release a DVD of the show.
Oh, of course
not. People
are still
going to want to go and see it live. Then it means people might not think, they might think, you know what, I don't need to pay $8,000 to see it right now. Because of course it's understandable. People think they may never get to see it, so they want to take up the opportunity if it comes to Denver or Chicago or whatever. But like, really, really sucks. It's, you know, we talked about this with Cursed Child a little bit last week. I think it makes me really uncomfortable when fan things are kind of become really businessy and it's all just monetized. And, you know, obviously it is a business, but yeah, I don't know. It makes me feel weird.
Same.
Yeah. Speaking of Cursed Child, we have an email here from Rebecca. Kyle, do you want to grab that one? As the only person who's seen it, you know, whatever.
Hey, Hypes, thank you so much for the amazing Cursed Child special. Everything you... is that the right one? Yeah. Sorry. Everything you said just resonated in my soul. I was legit sobbing during my drive home. I don't trust many people to keep their reviews actually spoiler-free, but I'm glad I trusted Hype. You ladies handled this review so well. I feel like I have a really good understanding of what the production was like without losing any anticipation for the scriptbook. A bit more trepidation, though. Your references to the magic on stage have me so intrigued. I have been needing to have a frank discussion about what this play is going to do to the canon and the community. I've always been a books-only believer, and I have no clue how to deal with the scriptbook. Based on your reviews, I'm a bit more comfortable calling this one a quote-unquote interpretation. I'm really excited to be able to hear your thoughts on the plot come July 31st. And I'm very excited to talk all about the plot, because I have a lot of feelings about Cursed Child.
Yeah. Well, you're going to do the spoiler special, right?
Yes. That? Yep.
So people will be able to listen into that. And then when the script book comes out, we'll all be able to hear what Pam thinks.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, well, I mean, you already kind of know about the production, but if you had remained unspoiled, it would have been funny if we had done just a special based on, you know, people that had only read the book. Because we would just be in the dark.
Well, you know, I don't... Selena told me the plot of it, but I don't really know much about the, like, staging or anything like that. So we totally could do that.
Yeah, or maybe we'll do, like, a joint one where we just ask questions or something like that.
I really want to see what you guys think of Scorpius. Because for me, Scorpius was the actor is what brought Scorpius to life, and so I'm really interested to see how he comes across on paper.
Well, I'm just gonna say, based on like the production, the promo images they released of like the actor, you know, a couple weeks ago or whatever, the first thing I thought when I saw that kid was like, I just want to bake him cookies and give him a hug because he looks like a little puppy, like a little like sad puppy. And I'm just like, oh, come over that here, I'll hug you and it'll be fine. And like, don't listen to dad. Dad's a little, you know, sad because things didn't go his way in school. It'll be fine.
You know what? I really like that idea of doing a third special. Selena's going to hate me. I really like the idea of doing a third special once the script has come out with people who have only read the script and people who have seen the show. And so, you know, hopefully answering maybe some of the questions that people have, like you and I, Pam, who will have only read the script, being able to be like, how did this play out? And what did this look like? And how did this work and stuff? Because, yeah, I'm actually writing an article about Cursed Child also at the moment, but it's not, obviously doesn't have spoilers because I haven't seen the show, but it will probably be out sometime this week. But yeah, I'm kind of thinking about that a lot at the moment, like the change in medium from stage to script and how that kind of affects, you know, the version of the story that you see. So that would be an interesting thing for people who have seen the show, I guess, to read the script and see if it gives them a different feeling. Because like you said, Kyle, without the particular people playing the roles, you know, who knows how different that will be. Anyways, that would be fun. That's the thing I just made up, but we'll definitely have a spoiler-filled show at the very least. And then maybe Pam and I will go rogue, like record the Cursed Child script special.
We'll just act out all the parts ourselves, like
oh my god, dramatic reading. Yes. We totally could do that.
Yeah, and we'll talk about like what we think all the stage instructions mean.
Right. We'll take donations. If we reach a certain amount, Pam and I will reenact the entire Cursed Child play, doing all of the different characters with various voices.
Exactly. We're going to start a GoFundMe or whatever you call that.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll start a Kickstarter for it. That's what the world needs. Okay. So just a few tweets to finish the day. Thank you very much to Jewel taking one for the team and telling us it is Hecklin. Tyler Hecklin, apparently. So I can't remember who was right about that.
I think it was
maybe Selena.
Yeah, or you. It wasn't me for sure.
I don't know. Anyway, thank you. That's good. I'm surprised that he didn't let us know because obviously he would be listening.
But... I mean, I tweeted at him. He just, I guess, didn't care enough to tell us. It was so sad.
Yeah, weird. That's fine. Whatever. Rebecca says about Cursed Child, I'm trying to stay spoiler-free until January when I see the play. Wow. I might have to boycott social media from July 31st. And then I think Selena asked if she was going to read the script, and she says, I'm going to a midnight release party, then I'm going to give it to my boyfriend for safekeeping. Tickets were, I guess, expensive, is what that means. So I feel like I'm wasting money if I don't go to the play unspoiled, especially if the plot is terrible. That is showing a lot of self-restraint. Yeah. I'm impressed by Pam waiting till the end of July. I don't know if I could wait until January.
Just a tip for Rebecca, if you use Google Chrome, and if you don't, you should download it. There is a plugin called Unspoiler that you can download for the Google Chrome web browser. It's not going to help you when it comes to your cell phone. I haven't found something that actually works for that. But Unspoiler is great because after you install the plugin, you can literally just start typing in like tags and things that you don't want to see like pop up, and it'll just get blocked on your screen, and it'll give you a little red warning. It'll say this might contain spoilers for, like, say you put in Scorpius Malfoy or something, and then you can choose whether or not you want to reveal that. So that might help you in your plight, but good luck to you. That is extreme.
Let us know how you go. I would like a weekly update from you too, the same way that Pam is giving us one, please.
Exactly.
Okay, and one last tweet from Philippa, who says, just listen to your excellent Cursed Child episode. I saw the play last week and agree with everything you said. Bite snails. So, good and bad, I guess. All right, that's it for this week. If you want to let us know your thoughts on anything we talked about, you can get in touch with us all the various ways we listed. The main one is, of course, Twitter, at HyperbleHype. And we will be back next week with... who knows who will be on the show? It's a bit of a mixed bag at the moment, but hopefully Selena will be back and we can tell her about all of the different specials that we have planned, and she will be really pleased about that, I am sure. So until next time, I'm Marima.
And I'm Kyle.
And we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.